Please, brethren, turn your Bible to the book of Jeremiah 18 from verse 1. Jeremiah 18, 1. God spoke to Jeremiah and God sent him to somewhere just to send a message to the people of Israel, just to remind them the difference between man and God. Jeremiah 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on his wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the hands of is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel." 8. If the nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? So God sent Jeremiah to this man's house, the potter's house, and he saw the clay and how this man was working on it, and the clay was marred, and then he made it again a different way as it pleased to him. This is how our relationship with God is. We are just like the clay, God is the potter. God is the only thing that is real in this whole universe. Every other thing comes out from God, just like all of us. And this applies to us physically and spiritually. God is the potter. God is the molder. God is the maker. We are just like the clay, and that's exactly who we are. And God was talking about an evil nation, referring to us. No matter how bad we are, if God decides to change us, if God decides to forgive us, if God decides to reshape us and remold us, that's up to him. Nobody will ask him any question. Nobody will ask God any question. Nobody will tell God what to do. But God wants us to change from our evil ways. God wants us to repent. The Bible said, though your sins are, are sackcloth, God is able to turn it around. So God sent him to this house to see our relationship, the relationship between us and God. We think a lot of time that we are something, that we are great, that we are wonderful, that we are mighty, and so on. Those are all lies. Those are all false. We are nothing. God is the one that made us who we are. And he is ready to continue to change us, to continue to transform us as long as we submit to him, as long as we are humble before him, till he makes us to become like him, a spirit like him. If you turn to Genesis 2:7, this is physical. This is not spiritual now. This is physical. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust out of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is physical. God formed man from the dust, and then commanded him to multiply and put that multiplication power inside of his gene. and commanded him to multiply. But the dust is the source of man, and that is exactly who man is without God. If you remove God from man, man becomes dust and nothing again. So this is very important that we have this at the back of our mind. We have this at the back of our mind, that we are just like clay before God, and God is the potter. We can apply this in every aspect of our life. When we come before God, when we sin against God, we can apply this, that God has the power to remold us, to change us, to remove the sin from us and forgive us if we repent of that sin. There's no need for us to be beaten by our conscience every time. If God says, I will forgive you when you repent, let's know that God has all the power to do whatever he wants to do, and nobody questions him. And if he says so, he will do it. If you turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. So this is reinforced throughout the scriptures. The power of God to do with us whatsoever he wants to do with us. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And if you read 13, it says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, no matter how heavy his anger is upon us, no matter how heavy, God is willing to turn it around because he has all the power. He does not need to seek approval from anybody. All he needs from us is repentance and humility, and God will do it. That's one way we can apply these scriptures in Jeremiah 18. To see that God is able to remold us, to change us, to transform us into whatsoever he wants us to be. Another way we can apply this is also the promise that we have, the hope that we have, the hope of eternal life. God is also able to take that clay and transform it from ordinary dust to a spirit body. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Who will change us? Who have the power to transform us? Only God. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, is a new creation. All things are passed away. Old things are passed away. If God says old things are passed away, they are passed away. Nobody has the power to bring them back. And 1 Corinthians 15:5 is telling us that God will change us, God will transform us into spirit beings. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed by God, the potter. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So God will exercise this power on us, the power of transformation. He will transform us because we are just clay in his hand, and he will mold us. And that's exactly what he's doing right now. God is working on us every day by day. He is refining us. He is improving our lives. He's drawing us closer to himself, to becoming like Jesus Christ, But all we need to understand is that we are like clay in the hands of God, and we need to submit to God, and we need to allow him to do what he knows how to do. It's not by our power, and we cannot do anything. That's one of the ways we can apply this. And the Bible says in Isaiah 45:9, it says, "Woe to them that fight their maker or strive with their maker." We cannot strive with God. We can only submit. So if a potter makes a vessel, what's the reason for making a vessel? What's the reason for creating us in the first place? God made us so that he will use us, so that we will work for him, so that we will be useful to him, so that we will serve him. Do we still remember this, or are we carried away by our weekly activities and everything going on around us? We must always remember the essence of life, the reason why God made us, and this is to make use of us, to use us, to use us. If you turn to Ephesians 2:10. Say, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto God's work, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." So we are God's workmanship. And it's very important for us to have this at the back of our mind every day and apply it in everything that we are doing. Wherever we find ourselves, serving in the church, outside the church, whatsoever we do, we must remember that we are simply vessels and God is working through us. And everything that we are doing it unto God, not unto ourselves. And when we are done, we submit to God and say, "God, take all the glory. After using me, take all the glory. Afterwards, I'm just a clay. I'm just dust." This is very important to understand that we are just vessels. If you turn to John 15:5. John 15:5, Jesus Christ said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Without me, you can do nothing. This is what Jesus Christ said to his disciples. And this is what he's saying to all of us. We need to humble ourselves before God every day, not only in the church. Wherever we find ourselves, whatsoever we find our hands doing, we must remember and have at the back of our mind that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And every work that we do in this world, we are doing it for God. And we must do it sincerely, and we must allow God to use us. And we must not take glory for anything that we do. We must allow God to take all the glory. And, you know, we remain who we are. This is how to work with God, because God is the potter and we are the clay. Anything more than this comes out of pride, and God does not like pride. It's one of the things, according to the book of Proverbs, one of the things that God hates. Proud look. "Without me, you can do nothing." Ecclesiastes 9:10. We all know the writer of Ecclesiastes, a great researcher and a very smart man. God gave him a lot of wisdom. And he used the wisdom that God gave him to research and to, you know, leave messages for generations to come to tell us what is good and what is bad under the sun. Ecclesiastes 9:10. It says to us, "Whatsoever you find your hands to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. So it's simply telling us that if God allows us to return to our natural state, our normal state, we cannot do anything there. We cannot do any work. There's no knowledge there. There's nothing there. You just be there. Now God has given us the opportunity to serve him in this world, to live in this world. Living is a privilege. Life is a privilege from God. And he says, whatsoever you find your hand doing, do it with all your heart and all your might. Do it unto God. Somewhere in Colossians and other places, they say, do it unto God. But Ecclesiastes says, do it with all your heart. Do it unto God. No complaints. No complaints. Who are you complaining to? You are not working for man. You are working for God. Either in the church or outside the church. Do it unto God. And allow God to take all the glory. And when the Bible says, whatsoever you find your hand doing, it's not referring to evil. It's not referring to scamming, like the person that wanted to scam everybody. God is not referring to those things. Whatsoever you find your hand doing that is good, that's worth doing, service to humanity, that brings succor and help to people, whatsoever you find your hand doing, do it with all your heart and do it unto God. See yourself as a vessel that God made for that purpose, and God is using you for that purpose, and this is the purpose of your life. And King Solomon reinforced this. So when we go back to the grave, when we go back to where God met us before he formed us and breathed into our nostrils, when you go back there, there's no work there. There's no knowledge there. There's no wisdom. There's no pride. Nothing is there. Whatever we are, the breathing, the life, and everything we have in God, the energy we have and share, whatever we have, is because God is in us and God is walking through us. If you turn to Philippians 2, verse 3. God is the potter and we are the clay. Philippians 2, 3. Sometimes when I can't find the scripture, I use my phone. Find it quick. Philippians 2, 3. Philippians 2, 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So whatever we find our hands doing, let's do it in humility. Let's do it as service to God, not for vain glory, not for strife, not for anything, but for God. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of the other. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the goal. We want to be like Jesus Christ. We want the mind of Jesus Christ, the mind of service, the mind of sacrifice, the mind of humility. Jesus Christ said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me, but not my will, your will. This is what we should be praying as Christians every day by day. We must know that it's all about God, not about us. I know that it's difficult. Because when you go back to the world, everything that's happening in the world, everything we see on social media makes us feel that we are God. We will become God, but God is the one that will make us God. But right now, we are simply vessels, and we must allow God to use us And we must present ourselves. We must be usable. We must make ourselves available and habitable for God to live in us and use us. And he said, whatsoever you find your hand doing, no work is greater than the other one in the sight of God. No work is greater than the other one in the sight of God. You know, I'm standing here and I'm speaking, and other people are working in the kitchen. Other people are putting all these things together. We are all serving God. We are all doing the work of God. No one is greater than the other in the sight of God. We are doing the work that God has committed into our hands to do. So whatsoever you find your hand doing, wheresoever you find it doing it, do it unto God. And remember that we are just clay, and God made us for this purpose, to use us, to walk through us, and we must submit ourselves for this purpose. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians 6:19, talks about our body. When the Bible says God formed man from the dust, what did God do? God gave him this body. And let's see what the Bible says about that, about this vessel. 1 Corinthians 6:19. So we must make ourselves available and ready for God to use us. Say what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You are not your own. You belong to God. You belong to God. And he said, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So sometimes a lot of people talk about the mind. It's all about God. Godliness is all about the mind. It's about the mind. It's also about the body. The Bible says our body is a temple of God. Our body is a temple of God. And we must ensure, we know what the Bible talks about God. It talks about holiness, does not behold iniquity, and so on. We must take our body seriously. We must take care of our body. We must stay away from things that defile us. We must stay away from things that make this body not habitable for the Holy Spirit that wants to use us. If God is in us, something else, if God is not in us, then something else will take over our body. Something else will take over our body. Satan can do that and use us to wrought evil works. But this vessel is for God, and we must keep it for God. So your body is a temple of God. We must see our body as a temple of God, and we must treat our body as a temple of God. Take care of our body physically and take care of our body spiritually. The Passover will soon be here. This is a good time to start working on our mind and on our body, start getting ready for it. But when you look at the Bible, you see the importance of the body. Like if you turn to the book of Luke, 8:43, Jesus Christ was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He availed his body for God to make it his temple and live in it. And if you turn to Luke 8:43, you see what happened. Luke 8:43. So everything that God has given us, everything that God has put in this body, God wants to make use of every atom in this body, every little thing in this body must be for the service of God. Luke 8:43 tells us a story about a woman that had been with issue of blood for so many years. 8:43. She had been to so many physicians. Nothing happened. She spent a lot of money. Nothing happened. But one day, as Jesus Christ was passing, Luke 8:43. As Jesus Christ was passing, look at what the Bible said. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. Just touching Jesus Christ, the garment on his body, this woman recovered. This woman was healed. Our body is the temple of God. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We must treat it as such. We must take care of our body, must stay away from things that defile the body. As God's people, must stay away. And this is not the only time in the Bible talked about it. In Acts chapter 19, 12, this vessel is for God. God made this vessel for himself. We must allow God to use this vessel to his service. Acts 19:12, talking about Apostle Paul. And he said, so that from his body, okay, I will read from 11, and God wrought special miracle by the hand of Paul, so that from his body we are brought unto the sick handkerchief and or apron, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. The apron from his body. Why did all these things happen? Because God was walking with him. God was using that temple. And we must allow God to use us. If we are truly God's people, we must submit to God and allow God to use us. And there's also another story in the Bible, in the book of 2 Kings 13. If you turn to 2 Kings 13, 21. So this is not even a living body. This is a dead body. 2 Kings 13, 21. So when the Bible says our body is a temple of God, it's very important to God. It's very important that we keep it holy and stay away from the things that defile. God is walking through us and God is walking with everything in us. 2 Kings 13, the story of Elisha. Not the living Elisha, the dead Elisha. 13:21. And it came to pass. Okay, I will start from 13:20. And Elisha died. We all know who Elisha was. Elisha was a prophet of God after Elijah. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man that was laid down and touched the bone of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. So Elisha was dead, but God walked through him, and this happened. A dead man touched a dry bone, Elisha's dead bone. And he came back to life. So this is not a joke that God is walking with us. This is not a joke that our body is the temple of God. God dwells in us, and God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's up to us to understand our relationship with God, the relationship of a potter and the vessel. We are the vessel. We are the clay made to become a vessel, just for the master's use. And we must submit to God and allow him to use us. If not, our life on earth will be meaningless. We can enjoy, have all the enjoyment in the whole world, but once this breath of life goes out of our nostrils, we'll become worthless. But God has promised us, if we continue to walk with him, if we continue to allow him to walk through us and to use us, that he, as the potter, will mold us and shape us and we become spirits, and he will give us eternal life, and we'll live and reign with him forevermore. And this is our hope. There is no other hope in this world. There is no other hope in this world. With the powerful men, with the weak people, there is no other hope. The only hope is the hope of eternal life. And the only source of eternal life is God, who made the heaven and the earth, the Potter. That is the only source of eternal life. And if you turn to the book of James, chapter 4, James 4. James 4, 7. And it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the devil is not that strong. The devil is not that powerful. The Bible says, resist him, and he will flee. But if we give room for him to come in, he will come in, and the Bible also says that he does not release his prisoners. If we get into his prison, if you get into his house, the Bible says he does not release his prisoners. But he's also weak. And the Bible says, resist him and he will flee from you. But how will you do that? So draw near to God. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Going back to what God told Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah 18:1, and in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. This is the process of purification. The process of purification is repentance. We repent and we turn away from that evil ways. And God is the one that will purify us. He's the one that will mold us. But we must always have at the back of our mind to remember that we are simply clay in the hand of God. And we are mere vessels for God to use. And we are not anything more than that. We are not anything more than that. If you turn to 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter 5:6. And he said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he might devour. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty power of God. So humility means understanding who exactly we are, understanding the privileges that we have, that everything we have in this life is a privilege. God has given us the privilege to live, and this life is the most expensive thing anybody can have in the whole universe. Life is the most expensive. People buy expensive cars, expensive houses, and so on, but nothing comes close to how expensive life is. Nothing comes close to that. And this is what God has given to everybody, free of charge. This is what God has given to us. So it's a privilege. And we must not use this privilege against God, to walk against God. Let's use this privilege to serve God, to make his earth a better place, to make his world a better place. And we are making it a better place because we know that very soon Jesus Christ will return and the world will become exactly what God wants it to become. A peaceful, a loving, and a holy place. And if you turn to Romans 11:33, so we've talked about God's ability to forgive us our sins, because he's the potter. He has the power to change anything he wants to change, as long as we repent and turn away from our sins. We've also talked about using our body to the service of God, realizing that he is the maker, he's the potter, and we are just the clay, and without him, we are nothing. And serving him in spirit and in truth. And we must also understand, if you turn to Romans 11:33, that all glory must be returned to God. All glory must be returned to God. Still looking for my Romans. 11:33. And it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who had known the mind of the Lord, or who have been his counselor, or who have first given to him, and this shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him, all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. For him, all glory for him, through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be the glory." This must be our mindset. Returning all the glory and all the praises to God and not to ourselves in any way. I will conclude this message with Ecclesiastes. If you turn to Ecclesiastes 12. And this is just a summary of everything I've said here today. That God is a potter, and we are the clay. Like Pablo said, we should remember not to take the name of God in vain. We should remember to reverence God. We should remember to honor God. And he listed a whole lot of things that we can do instead of using the name of God in vain and disrespecting God. Ecclesiastes 12. And from verse 13, tells us what the conclusion of everything is. It tells us what life, the summary of life. After Solomon tested everything he wanted to test in this world, after he invested and made a lot of money, married so many wives, had so many concubines, married from Israel, married outside Israel, tested even the things that God asked him not to test. He tried everything, and he came and he put everything together. And he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of a man." This is the reason why God made this vessel. And we must allow God to use it. And we must fear God. We must love God. We must make our body, our minds available for God to use and walk through this vessel. Say, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret things, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Fear God and keep his commandments. And remember that we are the clay and he is the potter."